A lot of stuff just happens, doesn't it, throughout our lives? Think about all the things that make you you. A lot has happened, hasn't it? A lot of events, a lot of significant things, and they're all inside of you. And that's what makes you you. That is your story. And if you were asked, who are you? Do you answer with your name and address? Or tell about your job, your family, your success, your status, or stuff that shows that you are a valuable person and you contribute? How do you answer the question, who are you? I mean, that's a challenging question. How do you summarize you in a few words? We get defined by a lot of things, and other people define us at times. But let's suppose, all right, a backpack is your life, all right? And you carry all this stuff around with you everywhere you go. What's in there? I mean, think about, what do you pull out of your backpack when you think about you? And I thought about this, I was like, well, I don't even know what to put in here because, you know, you have to narrow it down to a few things. But we all know there's a lot more in there than just a few things. You know, I thought, well, I'm going to put my motorcycle vest in there. You know, because that's got places I've been. This reminds me, I've been to a lot of places, you know, and I put all those patches on there when I go somewhere, and I think, where have you been? What have you seen? What have you done? So that's just one thing. What else do I put in here? Well, you know, significant part of my life is Ukraine, right? I mean, 10 years of my life, that really changed me in so many ways. That's part of me, too. I mean, so many people, so many experiences. I can't even begin to summarize all of that. And then, you know, well, when I rededicated my life to Christ, I tore through this Bible, let me tell you. It's got marking all over it. Pages are falling out of it. It's got little post-it notes in there from Mark Wilkinson's sermons. You know, it's just another milestone in my life when Jesus got hold of me. I think, what else is in here? Well, you know, passport. This is actually a passport for Arizona. If you ever go down Route 66, has little significant places to stop. But this reminds me of family vacations and the special times we've had together as family. I think about family. There's so many things. I can't forget my boys, you know. They really are, you know, significant to me in so many ways. I don't even know how to begin to talk about that either. You know, of course, I wear this everywhere. That's significant, isn't it? And, you know, what else? Well, here's a family Bible from someone in my family from way back when. I don't know. And I remember there's a legacy of faith in my family from many, many, many years ago. I don't even know where that begins, where that ends. Lots of stuff. And, you know, of course, started working with veterans lately. That's significant to me. They're significant to me. They've changed my life in many ways, you know. And I carry this coin around a lot of the time. It marks the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem belonging to Israel and also the 70th year of Israel being a country again. And I think, you know what? God does amazing things. He still does. He has touched all of our lives. And he continues to do that. And he is still the God of amazing things. I think about all of those things. And, you know, I can't help but think God has been through the middle of all of that stuff. And he's been through all the middle of your lives. And the things that you've gone through and the things you've seen. Even when you felt like God wasn't maybe a part of your life, he was still there. He was shaping and forming you. He is an amazing God. And he defines us, partially at least, as he co-authors our story. We co-author our story together with him. But I want you to remember this. If you're a Christian, then God has saved you from something for something. Now, this gift of grace, you know, we love to talk about grace, don't we? This gift of grace, it's not simply a feel-good feeling. You know, it's not that. It's so much more than that. It's not just, hey, someday we're going to get to heaven. It's not just that. Grace is so much more. It is the active idea that God is going to be doing something with your life continuously as His story continues to be written and you're written into His story. So He is co-authoring your story with you. We are saved from something. You know, and I throw this illustration up. I'm going to keep throwing it up and tell you what. That we are a church that is growing and we're moving from something to something. In other words, that seed, the Word of God, took root in your heart. Right? If you're a Christian. What does Jesus say about that seed? Where does it go when it finds good soil? And I hope the Lord calls us good soil. Amen. We are good soil, I hope, in Christ. And what happens? That seed begins to grow. Well, this illustration, it's really the church logo. It talks about us like we're a tree, and we grow. The tree grows. And as it grows, and that's taken from Psalm 1, by the way, where David says, you know, we're like a tree planted by springs of water. And the Lord is nourishing that tree and causing it to grow. And as it grows, it begins to branch out. And we as Christians, we find the Lord, or actually the Lord finds us, but He becomes part of our lives, and we become part of each other's lives as a church. And we become valuable to one another, and our stories interact with each other and enrich our lives and make us more rooted as the roots continue to grow deeper as a tree grows taller. And as the tree grows taller, the branches come out, the leaves come out, and what happens eventually, where we're at that time of year, there are more seeds to be planted. There is a great harvest that comes about because of what the Lord has done in our lives. So we are saved from something for something. So there is something about you that is broken. That's what we're saved from, right? Something that has caused you to get lost or wander. Something that has disconnected you from what God intended. And we know what that is. The biblical lesson is that we are disconnected from God and we need Him. We need to be saved from ourselves. Boy, I need to be saved from myself on a daily basis. How about you? And God wants to remove our guilt and sin, and God wants to restore us to a powerful relationship with Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, as you come to Him, the living stone. Jesus is the living stone, right? He is the most important component of this building that we call the church. But He's a living stone. He's not a dead stone. He is the first and foremost component of the living temple that we are all a part of. He was rejected by men. Don't be surprised when the world rejects you or your faith. They rejected the King of Kings. Rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, I love this part, Peter says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. What does a priesthood do? Well, in the Old Testament sense, they're servants of the Lord. They served in the tabernacle and in the temple, and all the things that they did were symbolic of much more important things that we now live out as Christians. So we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Doesn't that sound good? You know, this question came up recently. Someone said, well, what about all those verses that talk about your sins being exposed and, you know, on the last day? And I said, well, you know, that's for unbelievers. Do you know that our judgment has already taken place if we accept Christ? It happened on something like that. Our shame is gone. In fact, the Scriptures tell us He'll remember our sins no more. But shame is a terrible, terrible thing. Because it defines who you are, and all the experiences in your life, good and bad, define who you are. And if you're like me, sometimes you'll be tempted to go back to the shame. But what does the scriptures, what do the scriptures say? Whoever trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. Isn't that awesome? We have a new identity. And I realize today that there are two camps out there. There are two camps, and it seems to be very adamant these days, these two camps. I realize there's a camp that says there is a God, and there's a camp that says there is no God. There's a camp that says God is the creator of life, and there's a camp that says there is no creator. We happened by accident. There's a camp that says God has given us the Bible, the Word of God, as a guide for faith. Then others would say the Bible is outdated, just a myth or irrelevant. There's a camp that says Jesus is Lord, and a camp that says Jesus was just a nice guy. But as far as being a Messiah, come on. There's a camp that says you can only make it to heaven if you work hard enough. And there's a camp that says you can only make it to heaven by God's grace through Jesus Christ. There's a camp that would say that God has invited us into His story through faith in Christ. But there's also a camp that says if there is a God, then why is there so much pain in the world? There are two camps. I want you to know the camp that we land in, the camp that this church represents. We believe God created us. He created us. He gave us the Word of God to guide us. And that is our foundation. He sent Jesus to save us. And He wants to write us into His story, His living story. And He did all of this through grace. And I love this acrostic, G-R-A-C-E. You've heard it a million times, I'm sure. But it's always good to have a little refresher course. Amen? Grace, what is that? God's riches at Christ's expense. And what does that remind us of? We cannot save ourselves. We cannot. Christ did that. So we, through faith, gain God's riches, eternal life, the kingdom of God, an inheritance that we don't even comprehend what that might be yet, a new and wonderful creation, all at Christ's expense. Christ made it all possible for us. So we were saved from something, and that's our sin, for something. Ephesians 2:10, we've come to hear this verse several times recently. But it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What we were saved from something. What were we saved for? The answer is to do good works. Now, people love to throw around, we're not saved by good works. No, the answer is we were saved for good works. That's what the scriptures say. We've been called to do something significant, to thrive in Jesus Christ. As we interact with one another, that thriving becomes more wonderful. So long as we don't listen to the enemy. He loves to get his foot in the door. He loves to divide us. He loves to throw stuff at us that really does not matter, that he knows we'll get passionate about. He knows how to push our buttons. And that's why we need the guide, the rule of faith, all the more the Word of God. We should never fight in any battle with our own thoughts or motives. We should fight every battle with the Word of God, used as God would intend it to be used. We are God's workmanship, the scripture says. Now, there are some things about me that need to get better. Amen. You could probably give me a list of those things. You probably know them better than I do. I ought to be growing in grace. Not only do I discover that grace, but that grace ought to be changing me. It's a process. And I should be able to see more clearly what Christ wants to do through my life. Now, think about a basketball coach. Your team is really sincere, okay? You've got some really nice players on your team, all right? You like them. But they can't make a shot. No matter how hard they try, the ball always comes short, never reaches the hoop. So you tell the team that you are going to help them out, right? You tell them that you're going to take the 10-foot rim and lower it to 6 feet. Now your team is great. They can make every shot. But that doesn't really make them better, does it? Mm-hmm. When we lower the standards of what God has intended, yeah, we're capable of reaching things on our own. But God, what does He want us to do? He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to become ultimately very dependent on Him, to ask Him for things, to understand that without Him we're lost, and we need Him to be our God in every situation in our lives. And I love this little skit. All right, just for a moment, I want you to, if you can, it's okay, stay seated, but can you stand up for a second? Just stand up for a second. All right? Now, without giving it a lot of thought, point north.
Where?
Oh. Okay. Everybody's pointing that way. You can sit down now. All right? I got a compass here, and it says north is that way. So, a lot of you hesitated. You're like, everybody's pointing that way. Some of you are like, but north doesn't change, does it? North is always north, right? But you had to think about it for a minute. You had to, okay, whoa, where am I? I had to get my bearings, right? I had to figure out where is north. We're all over the map sometimes with where is north, right? And north never changes. It always stays the same. But sometimes we lose our bearings. We forget what's really right, what's really wrong. God has given us His standards, His compass, and He's inviting us to allow grace into our lives so that we meet up with His standards. He changes us. We cannot change Him. We cannot force Him to do what we want. And sometimes we can't see what He's doing because we're not sensitive enough to what the Spirit is trying to teach us. But we are His workmanship. We are not finished products yet, but He's working on us. And because of that grace given to us, we need to extend grace to each other. And remember that. We are in a process, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He wants us to see some things. He has expectations for our lives. What are you giving of yourself? Let me ask you that. How are you being salt and light? Who are you serving? And most of us would probably have to say myself, right? I think about our house. We have this enormous wall full of movies. We watch lots of movies. Recently, I've been thinking, what if that time were given to God instead of entertainment? You know, there are things we fill our lives with we don't even think about. And it's okay to watch movies, don't get me wrong, but when it becomes only watching movies, or a lot of watching movies, instead of, what could I do for God? We have idols in our lives, things that need to be thrown out, and because of those things, we have so many distractions. And the enemy will use our creature comforts to distract us from being the church. And our lives intersect with so many other people every day, don't they? I mean, most of us, He makes the opportunities for us. You know, Mom and Dad told me that last week when they went out to lunch, the waitress, you know, you always have to be careful when you pray in public, right? Because you never know when that waitress or waiter is coming. And you don't want to have them just standing there because you feel bad for them, right? And so you try to time that. But Dad never has a concept of when you should do that. Dad's hungry, it's now, you know. But the waitress came to the table and they grabbed her hands and she prayed with them. And then she happened to say, you just made my day. I needed that. I needed to hear those words. It's that simple sometimes. I mean, maybe some people won't like that kind of thing, but some people will. And if you aren't feeling convicted, compelled, or challenged by God's message of grace, maybe you need to engage God into your story a little bit more. It's possible you're missing out on that Ephesians 2:10 concept that you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And think about it. It's the good news. Some people have called it the great news. It's not the bad news. We're not just out there, you know, to trumpet everything that's wrong with the world. But we are out there to show the grace of God that changes what's wrong with the world. We branch out as we move along and we thrive. And we engage with one another. We share those stories and they reinvigorate us all. Because then we see God is working. And God wants more than anything to work through His church, for His people to reflect His grace and His glory. He's counting on you as He writes that story. So I want you to think just for a moment. This is George's little soapbox caveat, okay? Think about, look at your bulletin if you have it, you know, the little insert. Think about your dream group. If you could be part of a group of people in the church, what would that group look like? First of all, I ask you the question, I think I'm particularly good at serving what? What's your favorite way to serve? Whatever that is. What is it? What do you love to do? Okay, and how can you use that for God's glory? Start thinking about that. Start praying about that. And then the second outline blank you have on there, an ideal community action group would serve and fill in the blank. What is that? There are people out there that have needs. Oh my goodness, there are so many types of people out there that have needs, aren't there? Which group would you serve if you could? Who would you help if you could? What would you do for God's glory if you could? You know, I've never been on a cruise ship. Never been. But I hear that it's like a floating food barge. You get up in the morning and you have a big spread of food. You eat so much, you have to go back to your room and, you know, lay down because you're going to pass out from eating so much. You know, I remember Mark used to say, Paul told me to buffet my body. It's actually buffet, but okay. Then you go and you eat again. And when you're done, you lay in the sun, feeling satisfied or bloated. After that, you eat some more, and then you go to the pool, and then you go back and you eat some more. You have the best food you could possibly want, and in between the meals, they have buffet lines, just in case you need something else. You get to the point that you don't even want to eat anymore. You may even complain about it. There's just too much food. By contrast, have you ever been on a short-term missions experience? Ever been on a mission trip? You often work late into the evening. When you get a meal prepared, there usually isn't much to it. And maybe you brought some, you know, some of those little crackers, you know, because those are easy to pack. You know what I'm talking about? They got the cheese or the peanut butter in them. And, you know, most of the time you're like, I don't want those crackers. Those are gross. But when you're on a mission trip, man, those are gold. Let me tell you. Because all day long you've been burning calories, you know, and you're hungry. And what do they have to offer? All this little pittance of food compared to what you usually eat. Some of us have gotten very comfortable getting together with other Christians. Don't get me wrong when I say these things, okay? We study our Bibles. We have Bible studies. We listen to Christian music on the radio. These are all good things. But is that the end of everything? What do we do with what we know? You know, you have the typical Christian saying, I'm bored. And I think, well, when my kids say I'm bored, you know what I do? I say, hey, lawn needs mowed. Hey, dishes, you know, need washed. You're bored? Oh, I can find, never mind, Dad. But when Christians get spiritually obese, in other words, they fill themselves with so much stuff, but they don't change the world. I mean, that's why our country is going down the tubes. I mean, it's great that we have a Christian culture and that we know what we believe, but if that's all we do is just believe and we don't serve, what did James say? Faith without works is dead. And it's not hard, folks. As you go about your lives, look for the intersections. Look for the crossroads where God is trying to just touch a life in what looks like a little way, but it can be very huge and significant for someone else. There is fuel that God gives you for His purposes. One of those fuels is testimony. We need to share more what God does through our lives and with other people's lives. I've had people tell me, George, I'm just not growing. And I want to tell you this, all right? That's not my job. It's not my job to make you grow, right? If you aren't growing, that's your responsibility. That's you. That's between you and God. Now, don't get me wrong again. Our job as a church is to give you resources, to encourage you, to fill you with the Word, to get you connected, but also to get plugged in somewhere, to challenge you to serve. That's the extent to which we can do it. We can challenge you to serve, but we cannot make you serve. Boy, I know this very well. You know, there are times I can't make my kids do anything. You know? You know what that's like if you're a parent. So what do you do? Whose life are you going to pour yourself into? Who are you going to touch today because Jesus touched you? You know, how are you going to be aware of those times when your life intersects with another life? How do you become more spiritually sensitive to those moments? Remember that it's not so much who you are, right, as whose you are. You belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You serve a higher master. And we're actually called his slaves. And we serve each other. And we contribute to each other. And there is joy in the journey because we thrive when we focus on what God is doing and not the enemy. We'll be depressed all day long. And yeah, we can listen to all the Christian music we want and we can read our Bibles as much as we want, but if we don't change the world, what have we ultimately done? Now, there are a few people in here that serve a lot. There are some people that serve some. And there are some people that don't serve at all. But the Lord calls us all to serve. We have been saved from something for something. And that is to change the world to the glory of God and for our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, it doesn't mean you have to commit indefinitely to some ministry in the church. It can be as simple as just looking for something significant you could say or do today. Be the church everywhere you go because you are God's children. You do reflect His grace and His glory. You are His servants. Serve Him. Just ask Him how. Lord, make me more sensitive. As I move about my daily life, make me more sensitive to what You're trying to do. Let's thrive, church. Let's do some amazing things. Because God has called us to do amazing things. Would you please stand with me and pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for the grace that's given to us. And we thank You how You write Your story into our story and how we are written into Your greater story. Thank You, Lord, for all the things that You do that change us. Sometimes those are harsh lessons. Sometimes those are amazing and beautiful lessons. We thank You, Lord, for the journey. But Lord, please help us to see today what You want us to do. For that matter, Lord, if any have not given their lives to You, we pray that today will be the day when You start writing Your story into their story. You've created us wonderfully and beautifully to be a reflection of that grace. Lord, that grace is so amazing. Your riches at Christ's expense. What have we done that we deserve that? The answer is nothing. We simply have to be humble and say, thank You, Lord, for what You've done. And we do thank You. We praise You. We exalt You. There is no God beside You. And we need You to show up and be our God. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.